This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Good morning and welcome to CBS This Morning. It's Wednesday, June 23rd, 2021. I'm Anthony Mason with Tony DeCoppo. Gail King's off, so Jerika Duncan is here.
We're going to get right to some alarming new evidence of a spike in the pandemic among those who have not received a vaccine. A month ago, the highly contagious Delta variant accounted for just over 2% of COVID cases in America. Now that number is up to 20%. This comes as the White House said it will not reach President Biden's vaccination goals by the 4th of July. Omar Villafranca is in Branson, Missouri, a state with the distinction of leading the country in new COVID cases per capita. Omar, good morning. What are officials there saying?
Well, here they're saying that people just need to get vaccinated. It's that lack of vaccination that's causing the virus to spike. Here in the Branson area, only one in four people are fully vaccinated. And that's left a lot of people vulnerable in this tourist town with its Ferris wheels and all the shows, right at a time where they're about to see the biggest crowds of the year.
It's summer in the Ozarks, a popular vacation destination for Midwesterners and Southerners alike. But right now, the region is one of the hottest hotspots for COVID-19, according to Dr. Terrence Coulter.
What do you worry about?
I'm worried about the perfect storm brewing. With the lifting of the mask mandates, the vacationers coming and going, the low immunization rates, and then now the arrival of the Delta variant, which is highly prevalent in the area. We're a hot spot, and this is just going to explode outward.
The Delta variant is being blamed for a sharp rise in hospitalizations in southwest Missouri, up 196% in the last month. The variant now accounts for nearly half of all COVID cases across 10 states. At Cox Health in Springfield, it's been detected in the majority of patients.
Who are the people who are ending up in your hospitals now?
Disturbingly, what we're seeing is more and more younger patients being admitted. And these are, of course, the unvaccinated. This is the gap in our armor. They feel they don't really need it. They're invincible.
That's exactly how 50-year-old Louis Michael felt.
Well, you think you're strong and you're physically in shape and you're moving along just fine.
Until he and his wife, Patty, ended up in a Missouri hospital last week due to complications from COVID. Michael told us from his hospital room he was on the fence about the shot. He hadn't caught the virus yet and wasn't sure he ever would.
I got a little cocky about it. And now that we've got this new variant, this new strain, it seems to be dive bombing everybody that didn't have any problems before. And so I regret not having it. If you can go and get this shot now and bypass what we've been through the last 2 weeks, because you feel like you're going to die, it's horrible.
Dr. Coulter said at the peak of the pandemic, 7 people were dying a day at his hospital. And I said, are you ready for another surge? And he said, we have to be. Anthony?
Omar, thank you. We're joined now by Dr. Anthony Fauci, President Biden's chief medical advisor. Dr. Fauci, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Anthony, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Dr. Fauci, as we just heard Omar report, the Delta variant now accounts for nearly half of all COVID cases across 10 states. Why is this the most dangerous variant we've seen so far?
Well, it spreads much more efficiently than the virus that we've been used to over the last several months to a year. And also, data from the UK indicate that it also is more dangerous in that it makes you more seriously ill. So the combination of a virus that spreads more rapidly and has the potential to make you more seriously ill is a threat we have to worry about. That's the concern in unvaccinated people. The good news is that the vaccine protects against it. And that's really another very powerful reason why we want people to get vaccinated, because this is a threat. It is now well over 90% of the isolates in the UK are this Delta variant, which is causing them a considerable problem.
So you're expecting this to be the dominant strain in a matter of weeks?
It will be the dominant strain among those areas, those regions of the country where the vaccination rate is lower than we would like. For those areas where you have a high vaccination rate, you're not going to see that. Again, another powerful reason why we need to get vaccinated.
Dr. Fauci, why do you think the messaging from you and this White House administration wasn't able to get us to that 70% threshold?
You know, I think we've got to really be careful because we've done extremely well. So we're going to probably by the 4th of July be, 67-68%. That's really good. The 70% aspirational goal by the 4th of July to get individuals with one single dose, to get 70% of at least one dose, was an aspirational goal, but it was never the end game. I mean, we want to go right through July 4th into the summer, continuing to get people vaccinated. So the fact that we're not quite at the 70 number by the 4th of July, I wouldn't make that much about that because we still have done extremely well. We have over 50% of the adult population completely vaccinated and about 65% of the adult population having received at least one dose. And we're doing very well with the elderly. More than 85% of the elderly have been vaccinated with at least one dose. So we've done well. So we don't want to fixate that we're a couple of percentage points lower than we would have liked to have been on the 4th of July. But we're going to be really close to that.
Dr. Fauci, I'm curious, do we know whether kids 12 and under are more susceptible to this Delta variant?
You know, I don't think you can say they're more susceptible, but when you do have a virus that is much better at a transmitter, children are clearly going to get more likely infected than they would have with the original, for example, the Alpha variant. So it isn't that they are more susceptible, but this virus is a more transmissible virus.
Right.
Therefore, children will more likely get infected with this than they would with the Alpha variant.
All right. Dr. Anthony Fauci, thanks so much for being with us this morning. We do appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And turning now to politics, Democrats say they will continue the fight over voting rights after Senate Republicans block their sweeping reform bill. A move to begin debate on the so-called For the People Act failed last night in a 50-50 party line vote. 60 votes were needed. Our Nancy Cordes is at the White House for us. Nancy, good morning to you. What does the Biden administration plan to do now?
Well, Tony, the president announced that he's going to have more to say next week. But beyond that, there doesn't appear to be much of a plan, which is a reflection, frankly, of how few options Democrats have on this issue in a divided Senate.
The fight is not over.
Vice President Kamala Harris presided over the Senate during her party's failed attempt to advance a voting rights bill.
The motion is not agreed to.
Every Democrat voted yes, but it was not enough to overcome a Republican filibuster.
This vote, I'm ashamed to say, is further evidence that voter suppression has become part of the official platform of the Republican Party.
The For the People Act would have expanded early voting and same-day voting registration, ended partisan gerrymandering, and increased federal funding for election security. Republicans argued the measure was too broad and would have diminished the power that states and local governments have over elections.
The bill that we have in front of us is not so much about voting rights as it is a federal takeover of the election system.
The push for a federal voting rights law comes as Republicans in 48 state legislatures have introduced 389 bills this year alone to restrict voting access. The White House is rejecting criticism from some Democrats who say the president hasn't been vocal enough.
Those words are a fight against the wrong opponent.
President Biden has tapped his vice president to lead the White House effort on this issue.
This is about the American people's right to vote. Unfettered. It is about their access to the right to vote in a meaningful way.
One small victory for Democrats. The entire party held together on this bill, which was not a given. Today, President Biden switches gears. He's going to lay out his plans to combat a recent spike in gun violence, another issue that has been plagued by congressional gridlock in recent years, Jerrica.
Nancy, thank you. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said for the first time he supports a major change in how the military handles sexual assault cases. In a statement, Austin said he will work to finally end the scourge of sexual assault and sexual harassment in the military. The change, long resisted by the Pentagon, would give independent military lawyers, not military commanders, responsibility for handling sexual assault cases and related crimes. But it needs congressional approval.
It does. In an exclusive CBS News report last November, CBS Evening News anchor and managing editor Nora O'Donnell spoke to soldiers about the realities of the current system as part of a year and a half long investigation.
I faced immediate and consistent retaliation.
After you reported your assault, you were stripped of your rank.
Yes, ma'am. They were trying to break me down. They just go after you because you're the victim and you're the problem.
How many of you think there needs to be something massive that happens, like a Me Too movement for the military?
All branches across the board, all of us need to be able to feel like we can speak up and that you're never alone.
And Nora O'Donnell joins us now. Nora, good morning to you. That was powerful reporting from last year. How significant is this endorsement or support from Secretary Austin, and what happens next?
It is seismic. This is the first head of the Pentagon to hear from victims of sexual assault and harassment, meet with them personally, and then say, the first thing I'm going to do while secretary is bring together an independent commission to look into this and report it in 90 days. He did that. Now he says he agrees with the findings of the independent commission that the reporting and prosecution needs to be handled by an independent person, not the commander. This is what survivors, victims, and their families have been advocating for years. They say this is the change that is needed in the military so that more women can serve in the military honorably, so that more women can advance to those roles of commander and leadership. This is seismic, the change that it could create if Congress goes along with what the Secretary of Defense has recommended. He's going to be testifying today in Congress, and he's also expected to brief the president about the findings of this independent commission.
We'll be paying attention to that. Nora, did anything stand out to you in the language that Secretary Austin used to offer his support?
Yes, it's an excellent question. There's something to point out. This is not just about sexual harassment and assault. It is also about domestic violence. And in fact, this independent review commission recommended that cases of domestic violence also be included in the independent prosecution system. Why? The numbers are even higher than sexual assault. There's a lack of transparency when it comes to domestic violence. They don't even track domestic violence in terms of in the military, and that is handled by commanders. If you are a victim, or a survivor of domestic abuse, it gets reported through the commander. And the reporting that we have done, specifically from advocates and lawyers, say, look, the reason you can't keep it in the chain of command is because the command in the military, it's like a family. And I'm from a military family. I know this, too. You know, in many ways, it's patriarchal. You view people that serve under you as part of your family. It's hard to believe that they would be carrying out violence or harassment or abuse. And so, and also, some of the data shows when it comes to assault and harassment, almost half of victims say they were told by their commanders to just drop it. Yeah. And that's why there has been this push for a Me Too movement in the military, where our reporting shows that many of these survivors and victims and families who have had children who commit suicide say the system has to change. It has to get out of the chain of command. There needs to be an independent prosecutor. And so I think this is a watershed moment.
Yeah, it's a big potential change if Congress acts. The reporting on it has been tremendous, and we know you will stay on it. Nora, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony.
In the latest clash between the U.S. and Iran, the Biden administration took down dozens of Iranian-linked websites yesterday. The Justice Department said the sites were connected to efforts to spread disinformation among American voters. As Elizabeth Palmer reports, the move comes in the middle of revived nuclear talks involving the U.S. and Iran, and just after the Iranians elected a new hardline president.
When users tried to log on yesterday, they saw this page was seized by the U.S. government alongside seals of the Department of Commerce and the FBI. The blocked sites were all news operations run by the Islamic State, including the English language Press TV, the Arabic language Al Alam, and three news sites run by Iran's proxy Hezbollah.
Which the U.S. government essentially argues are sites which are propagating Iranian propaganda, disinformation, misinformation, sites which are trying to sow discord within the United States.
Iran's new president, Ibrahim Raisi, a protege of the supreme leader, was elected on Friday. He, like many other people and organizations in Iran, are under U.S. sanction. The Department of Justice says the blocked sites violated those sanctions because they were owned by a U.S. company. Iran has called the action bullying and says it proves the U.S. doesn't believe in freedom of speech. Today, many of the sites are back up and running on a different domain. This appears to have been a shot across the bows of Iran as the nuclear talks enter what could be their final phase.
Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get daily podcast originals.
You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.